Shout out to Claritin for supporting this episode and providing us with some samples. So if you have read That Sounds Fun, you probably remember the story of me trying to get a dog and then realizing I was allergic. Sad day. And this is why I'm glad I found Claritin D, because an allergy attack is literally the worst. So I am thankful to have it on hand around my friends, pets, and other things. Luckily for those of us who live with the symptoms of allergies, we can live Claritin clear with Claritin D. It's designed for serious allergy sufferers, and Claritin D has two powerful ingredients in just one pill. This double action combination of prescription strength allergy medicine and the best decongestant available relieves sneezing, a runny nose, itchy and watery eyes, and itchy nose and throat, and sinus congestion and pressure with ease. Amen to that. There are also a lot of seasonal allergy sufferers over here at AFD Inc. and at the That Sounds Fun Network. So Claritin D really works for this crew. Ready to live life as if you don't have allergies? It is time to live Claritin clear. Fast and powerful relief is just a quick trip away. So you can find Claritin D at your pharmacy counter. Just ask a pharmacist for Claritin D at the pharmacy counter, and you don't even need a prescription. Just go to Claritin.com right now and you can get a discount so you can live Claritin clear. Use as directed. Hi, friends. Welcome to another episode of That Sounds Fun. I'm your host, Annie F. Downs. I'm so happy to be here with you today as we kick off our holiday shows. Oh, y'all just get ready for this month. December is always a favorite of mine, and you know, that counts today. And just as a reminder, we started our Advent plan yesterday for the Advent series. If you still want to jump in, listen, it is not too late. You have not missed a lot. Just go to anniefdowns.com/Advent, and there you can jump in with us, print out the updated guidebook. If you did it with us last year, get the new guidebook. We also have the guidebook in Spanish, so it is available to all of our Spanish-speaking friends. And that is all, again, at anniefdowns.com/Advent. Advent is short this year because it is usually 4 Sundays before Christmas Eve, and Christmas Eve falls on a Sunday. So while Advent officially starts this coming Sunday, we have started our plan yesterday. So jump in with us. I think you're going to love it. AnnieFDowns.com/Advent. And before we dive into today's conversation, I want to tell you about one of our incredible sponsors. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. This time of year can bring up all kinds of weird emotions, y'all, and you and me both. And you definitely don't have time to carry all that by yourself. It's completely natural to feel some kind of sadness or anxiety around the holidays and the end of the year. And I'm telling you, this is where therapy is such a helpful tool in my life, because on top of all that, I'm also going back to Nashville and leaving New York, and there's a lot of feelings. There's a lot of feelings. Find a place to process all of that so that the end of 2023 is marked by the emotions and marked by growth. Therapy can help you feel grounded and give you the tools to manage everything going on. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. When you're already on the go so much, you don't have to worry about one more place to go, because your session can be done right from home. Just fill out a brief questionnaire. We love a quiz. And get matched with a licensed therapist, and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Find a bright spot this season with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/ThatSoundsFun today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ThatSoundsFun. Today on the show, I get to talk with my new friend, Chris Brown from Elevation Worship. Chris lives in Charlotte with his wife and two kids and is part of the Grammy-winning Elevation Worship. You're probably already singing a lot of their hits in your car or at your church. They've included songs like Graves into Gardens, Gyra, and Same God. And they just put out their first ever full-length Christmas album called Echo the Angels. Y'all, it is so good. Cue the Christmas music. Let's go. Y'all are just going to love this guy. Some really important thoughts for church staff members, for worship leaders, how to serve your local church. So it's a really beautiful, helpful conversation. So here is my conversation with Chris Brown. Chris, welcome to That Sounds Fun.
Thanks. Appreciate you having me. This is fun being on for the first
time. I hope so. It is such a huge honor. Thank you. You are the voice and the words and the thoughts behind so much of the worship that we all get to experience. So it's a super honor to meet you.
Well, for real, thank you for having me. I'm looking forward to us chatting and having a good conversation.
I need you to know there are two rules of the guests that I will have on That
okay.
Sounds Fun.
All right.
So one of the rules is it's somebody I'm already friends with, which is not us. And the second rule is it's someone I want to be friends with, because I think it's okay. Hard to talk to strangers. That's really bizarre. So just know that this is also like the first day of our friendship.
Okay.
Okay.
From great. Here on out, we're friends.
That's it. Whenever you need anything, you just go like, well, I could ask Annie because I was on her podcast. So clearly.
Perfect.
Okay. So how much younger are you than I? I'm 43.
I'm 41.
Okay.
So we're right there.
So yep. I have this incredibly clear memory in high school at a retreat. The first time someone had worship music on a CD that I could purchase. Yep. And I was like, what? I can listen to this at my house? Like, I knew I could listen to Michael W. Smith and Amy Grant, but it was a new world that worship music was a part of, like, what I could put in my ears.
Yeah.
Do you remember the start of having worship outside of the church for you?
Passion One Day, that album.
That was
mine. It was, never heard anything like it. I grew up in the church.
Did you grow up in Charlotte?
No, I grew up in a small town in the bottom of South Carolina.
Okay.
My dad was a helped pastor that church for 27 years.
Wow.
So I grew up, there's like 120 people there.
Beautiful.
Town of 3,000 people. I mean, I was around, like, I guess CCM music, like you said, Michael W., Amy, whatever. And Passion One Day, that was the album for me. I was like, what? These are worship choruses. They're full songs, but what is it? It changed everything.
It is so. I feel like you and I are of the last generation of being able to delineate when worship music left the church, because it's now it is such a, it's the top genre of CCM. I think. Wouldn't that be true?
I don't know. I really don't know. It is. I'll say it's clearly very blended now.
Yeah.
It's all kind of one and the same, and I don't know if it's top. It has been an interesting whatever last 20 years, 25 years, seeing it kind of surface in the way it has.
What's your why behind that? What do you think's going on that has happened? Like, if you were looking with your spiritual goggles on, let's get prophetic. Let's go.
Yeah. I think I would say obviously Passion had. And Pastor Louis had so much to do with helping, at least here domestically in the States, like usher in a new movement altogether. And then the second album that I remember hearing before hearing any Hillsong worship, I heard United's first like youth album, and I was like, in the world? Like these big electric guitars and it was like, this is like the sound of like youth and worship. So a lot was happening for me, like just being exposed to corporate worship, different styles, Chris Tomlin to like this energetic wild sound that was kind of coming from Sydney and then everything in between. So I don't know, the last 20 plus years, it has been interesting. I will say Elevation started in 2006 as a church. 2007 we put out our first album, and we've been writing and recording since then.
I mean, that is almost 20 years, Chris.
Yeah, you're right.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, exactly. But I will say, it has been interesting for me. I mentioned I grew up in the church. When I was 17, I just felt like God called me to local church ministry. So when I moved here to Charlotte with my wife in 2007, the church was meeting in a high school. It was, loading in as church plants do, for anybody who might be familiar.
Trailers for days.
Trailers, you're in at 5:30 a.m., you're out at 2:30 p.m.
Ugh.
That was why we moved here. So, but Pastor Stephen had this vision for like worship music and writing songs and releasing music. So my context going from, I've got like this context and category for what's happened with Passion and then Matt Redman and all these songs that have kind of come up. But what really sounds exciting to me, because those were kind of movements.
Yeah.
What really sounds exciting to me is this idea of like worship music coming from our church that we moved to Charlotte to help load in from trailers.
Yeah.
And not in an opportunistic way, simply like that's a that's a thing. I know, you know, of course I mentioned Hillsong, but like that was another world away for me. It was just Sydney, Australia was on another planet.
Yeah, same. I remember the Shout to the Lord album feeling like way somewhere else they make this.
Right. Yeah, exactly. So anyway, it's been a really beautiful thing over the last 17 years that we've been here, seeing songs that God's given our church, given our writers here, and it feeling truly a part of our church. Yeah. And we're not, I just had a conversation last week about, if we're going deep, I'll just kind of tiptoe and then I'll get right back out. Last week about the complicated nature of what being a part of a church, and even me still in my 17-year-old self, feeling called to local, you know, church ministry, and still being in that place at the end of the day, like that's what I know I'm here to do, is just serve the church. But what a complicated thing, as God's given our church influence, the songs have gained their influence, complicated on so many levels. But, yes. And then, yes, back to your original question or point, then the blending of worship music and CCM, and I guess making a lot of it mainstream. I don't think, you know, it's bad by any means. I'm not saying that. It certainly has been an interesting couple decades watching it all unfold. And at the end of the day, I will say, I love that my first love and our family's first love is still, like, if it's, you know, this next year, 2024 or 24 years from now, we're still just going to be like planted in the church. And if that means like our church is releasing songs, that'd be the greatest gift. We're doing, you know, if we're serving God's kingdom and God's global church or this city in another function or capacity, that'd be the best gift.
Yeah.
So
I'd love for you to speak to that for just a second, because one thing I've observed is there are times where, in the complicated part of this, there are times where it feels like worship bands at churches are trying to get famous. And there are times where it feels like, and this is true of y'all, this part, that worship bands are serving their local church, and that, and then God uses that music to serve other churches as well. But the heart behind it can get really complicated, because I saw this at a church I'm up close to, where I was like, who are y'all making that for? Are you making it for the people you serve that come every Sunday? Or are you trying to make something big? For why? So how do y'all keep that heart of, hey, if we, I saw a video of Pastor Stephen, y'all are doing a prophetic kind of spontaneous worship moment, and he has the lyrics in his mind and he goes and sings them to the worship leader. And then the worship leader just goes into this chorus that just had me crying in my bed, Chris, because it was just beautiful. Yeah. Someday that could become a song that y'all release for all of us. But that was a moment that was for your church. So when you're training up worship leaders in your system, help teach us, what are you teaching them about, like, how do we serve this church and see if God will take it versus, hey, we've got to write a worship song that everybody sings.
Sure. Well, I'll start by saying it is all built on worship is in the DNA and bloodstream and live stream of Pastor Stephen. So you don't have this.
He's like a poet, isn't he?
Oh, 100%. He's a writer from the inside out. And as long as I've known, we've known each other since we were teenagers. And as long as I've known him, it's been, I've just watched him as a wordsmith get crazier and crazier and better and better. But I will say, for our church, as a starting place, you don't have this potential tension or rub or going in two different directions between, well, the pastor is setting a course for a certain vision, and worship leader or worship ministry has another idea of what they'd really like to do, and it involves writing, and it involves releasing albums. And I personally don't know anybody that's doing that. I just know from the jump, us putting out songs was in his heart. And I had never written a worship song when I came here. I'd written songs since I was 13, 14. Worship song, no, I had never even tried. So, but I think that is like the starting place. And to your point, like that, what you saw online and him having words that he gave someone on the spot and then us singing that, like that happens all the time because it's in him. But yeah. I'll say this is not meant to sound noble at all, because it truly isn't for me. But I am not wired to, I don't know why. When I was 16, 17, I did not have this dream and vision to be in front of a lot of people and to make a big album and to, you know, become whatever. So the goal for me is, so it's interesting.
Yeah, because we didn't see that modeled in front of us either, right? There weren't worship leaders who were famous.
Also that. But the goal for me isn't to be an artist. And the goal for me isn't to create or be on an album. And the goal isn't singing in an arena. The goal isn't, winning an award. And this is what we talk about here. You asked, like, how do you raise up a worship leader or a worship culture? For me, what we talk about, the goal is to be faithful. And so that's so faithful to our Father, faithful to what God's given me. And not to get it mistaken with what he's given someone else. Some of my closest friends are called to be artists. And in the sense of like, we've now titled it worship artists, but like just in the sense of like, they're called to do something different than what I'm called to do. But anybody who's coming through here, one of the, I think, ways we cultivate and try to protect the heart and vision of being a local church ministry that also puts out songs and records songs. And how do we keep the main thing? Mm-hmm. I think it's important to just stress faithfulness. And that's, I also have never been, I thank God that he's placed me under visionary leaders, because I never have been somebody who felt like, all right, 5 years from now, I'm going to do this.
Yeah.
I'm going to have this 10 years from now. I wished for many, many years that I actually had that gear. And for many years, I thought I was broken somehow that I didn't have like this and whether it was like really being intent on goals for, our marriage and our family, or certainly just in this ministry, I'm driven. I'm very driven. I'm a 3 on, you know, the Enneagram. I'm an achiever.
Yeah.
I have to like get things done. So I never did mistake like, well, I've got like drive. So it's not that I don't have that. It's just, why don't I have this? But I do feel for me, season after season has just been me saying yes to whatever that season was, and whether that was, one album to the next, 1 year to the next, it was just saying yes. And I finally got comfortable going, well, that's all right. Like, I don't need to map out, I don't feel the need to map out the next 5 years, 15 years, 30 years. And I have many ways I feel, like I'm stewarding what God has given me and taking good care of. I don't mean I'm reckless by any means by not planning, but I do feel like what has served us well culturally here as a local church with this type of worship ministry has been cultivating, like, just at the end of the day, faithfulness. And that may look this way in one season, and faithfulness may look another way.
Yeah.
In another season.
That's right. It's like a faithfulness to the open doors and the closed doors.
Exactly. And I mean, what we all struggle with, again, not not thinking faithfulness looks like what someone else being faithful looks like.
That's it.
You know, and trying to have my success try to match their accomplishments. It's like, well, that's not even, that's not what even I'm here to do or what God's given me. I'm barking up the wrong tree. So
yeah,
I have to regularly step back and ask myself, like, why am I doing this? Why do I feel motivated to do this? Who am I doing it for? Do I feel a need to impress someone? And that's my motivation. Or because I honestly believe, like, this is me making the most of what God has given me. That sounds
fun. Hey, friends, just interrupting this conversation real quick to share about one of our amazing partners, Relief Band. Listen, this just might be the Christmas gift someone in your family actually truly needs. When it comes to fighting nausea, Relief Band is where it's at. Relief Band is the number one anti-nausea wristband that quickly relieves and effectively prevents nausea and vomiting associated with air sickness, car sickness, anxiety, migraines, morning sickness, and so much more. Relief Band is natural, fast-acting, and will last as long as you need it. It's 100% drug-free, non-drowsy, and has zero side effects. You just wear a Relief Band on your wrist to give you relief from nausea, and you can adjust the intensity as you need it. Plus, Relief Band treats and prevents nausea, so you can help avoid nausea from becoming a problem in the first place. Relief Band has an A+ Better Business Bureau rating and over 100,000 satisfied customers, so they are a brand you can trust. Right now, Relief Band is running their biggest sale of the year for Cyber Monday, y'all. That is today. So head over to reliefband.com to receive 30% off your purchase plus free shipping. That's Relief Band, R-E-L-I-E-F-B-A-N-D.com for 30% off plus free shipping. Remember, that link and pretty much every other link you could ever hope for are in the show notes, but we also will send them to you Friday with a lot of other fun stuff in Friday's AFD Week in Review. You can sign up for that in the show notes as well. So be sure you check that out. Y'all, we all love something that is customized to us. Getting our favorite outfit tailored to fit just right, getting a custom piece of art for your house, listening to a playlist that's customized for us based on what we like to listen to. So why not use custom hair care? We all have different hair textures and types, and switching to a custom hair care routine has been so helpful for me. Like, my hair looks healthier and shinier. Plus, Pros also has custom skincare, which is so great because we definitely all have different needs for our skin too. With Pros, it is all about personalization. You do their in-depth consultation and they come up with your made-to-order products. There are millions of possible formulas, but only one is uniquely yours or mine. Pros isn't just better for you, it's better for the planet. They're a certified B Corp, they're cruelty-free, and they're the first and only carbon-neutral custom beauty brand. Pros is so confident that they will bring out your best hair and skin that they're offering an exclusive trial of 50% off your first subscription order, you guys. Just go to pros.com/thatsoundsfun so you get your free consultation, then 50% off at pros.com/thatsoundsfun. That's PROSE.com/thatsoundsfun. And one more amazing partner to tell you about, Athletic Greens. Listen, while we're eating our Thanksgiving food and our holiday treats, I want to get all my nutritional ducks in a row as well. And AG1 by Athletic Greens always helps me do that. Supplements are great, but it's hard to keep up with a bunch of different products. So AG1 makes it way easier. Their all-in-one formula makes it simple for me to cover my nutritional bases with just one scoop that's packed with 75 vitamins, minerals, and whole food sourced ingredients. And listen to the list of things it helps me with. It gives me major benefits like gut and mood support, boosted energy, and even healthier looking skin, hair, and nails. All I have to do is mix one scoop of powder in cold water once a day. AG1 was designed with ease in mind. My AG1 is delivered to me every month, so it's been super easy to make it a daily habit. I also get the single serving travel pack, so I never have to miss a day. If you're looking for an easier way to take supplements, Athletic Greens is giving you a free 1-year supply of vitamin D and 5 free travel packs with your first purchase. Just go to athleticgreens.com/soundsfun. That's athleticgreens.com/soundsfun. Y'all check it out. Okay, now back to our conversation with Chris. That sounds fun. I drank my own Kool-Aid pretty bad in like 2013, 2014, and really had a great run-in with my own pride and how that doesn't serve you at all in the long run. Yeah. And I started this career in 2011-ish. So it was like 2 or 3 years in. So on the other side of that, I get to have this much better, healthier perspective. And you're an incredibly healthy, from my observation, from what our mutual friends say about you, and from these 20 minutes. You're an incredibly healthy Enneagram 3. You don't have to spill your guts, but did you have to trip over yourself at any point in those 17 years in order to be as healthy as you are now? Or has it been a gradual like grace of God that has always kept you healthy?
I've tripped so many times and have like had such unlearning to do in different ways, or being like, it's okay. Most of it revolved around my relentless like pace and just feeling the need to, this is how I'm validated. This is how I'm like valuable. This is what brings me worth as an individual. Work, work, work. So it was, I never really tripped up over trying to gain, like get to a certain status place. That was never my trip up, as much as wherever I'm going to end up, I'm going to be okay with that. Yeah. But how I get there is going to be nuts, because
it's going to be
sprinting.
Fast. However I get there, it'll be fast.
It will be. And, I have hit some bad walls as a result of not understanding, like, you know, we would have days, I would be on my day off for the week, and for years, sometimes I would, you know, I'd get to a day off, and not understanding myself early on, I would just feel like, okay, blah, I'm just going to completely veg out. I'm going to completely like, I just can't think about anything. And then I learned, like, okay, for a three like myself, there's actually a part of me that needs to feel somewhat productive, even on a day off. So then I kind of flipped I maybe went to the opposite extreme. Then I would fill my days off with like things, as I learned that type of wiring about myself. And then I finally came to a healthier place, a little bit more in the middle. It's like, you know what? I can feel productive by going outside on our back patio and picking some weeds that are growing in between the travertine. And I can be done in 20 minutes. And it ticks the box for me of I accomplished something today. And so my wiring as a three just got relieved and got filled. And now I'm like freed up to not feel like a lazy bum the rest of the day because I chose to just sit around. Or I don't need to tick that box by, you know, running hard for 9 hours on a day off.
Matt Chandler shared this quote with me, and it's someone else's quote, I'm sorry to say, but I always give it to Matt. So this is a Matt Chandler quote where he says, if you work with your mind, Sabbath with your hands. And if you work with your hands, Sabbath with your mind. And so I bet you are also really clicking into as much brain work as it takes to lead at church, to lead on Sundays, to lead your team, and to write and record music. Your hands have to do something to really rest.
Yeah, that's true. I've never thought about it like that. But I bet that's exactly right. I'm not great at building things. I'm not great at with my hands. Funny enough, we have chickens now. We have Coop, and it's more my wife and my kids' passion. And my wife literally built the chicken run and coop by herself.
That's impressive.
It is impressive. And I became like perfectly fine years ago, not being a husband or a man that was going to build things around our home.
Yeah.
And she has this gear. She just loves to do that. So, but you're not going to find me outside building that. I'll go and enjoy it, and I'll certainly enjoy the eggs we get. But no, that's an interesting way to look at it, that quote.
I end up doing a lot like on my Sabbaths, because this is my job, talking, right? And and writing. I will do puzzles, or I'll do, like, I'm just always like, don't just make me sit here. If I just have to sit here, I'm gonna go nuts. So just give me something to do. Yeah.
So in New York this fall, what are your days off look like? Since it's just the pace and everything, can you go do a puzzle in the middle of craziness?
You
it feels good.
You would be so unimpressed with how much I'm doing. I am playing all the time. I'm playing all the time. I'm forever finding something. There is always something to do here. So when you're like, what should I do right now? And then you open Instagram and there's like 75 things you could do on a Saturday. And I go try to do 73 of them. So to me, it has been get around art and get around nature has kind of been my resting things here. Okay. So yesterday, speaking of, I was sitting with my friend Amanda Jane, who was a Glinda on Broadway in Wicked the Musical.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And we were talking about, she was saying to me, what if the last book you wrote was your last book? And I was saying, what if the last stage was your last stage? So with y'all just releasing this Christmas album, Echo the Angels, like when you're thinking about the doors God's opened and the things we were just talking about, what if this was your, I know it won't be, what if this was your last album? What if a Christmas album was Elevation's last album? What would that mean to you?
What a morbid question.
Right. Not something's going to happen to you, but what if y'all just like feel called to something else? You're not going anywhere, gosh. Chris. Let me rephrase. You're not going anywhere. Let me give you a fuller story. We were talking about what if God calls you to a different career and you give up your public life. So our conversation was around, could you walk away from a public life if God invited you to something else? So if God invited you and the worship team at Elevation to quit doing public worship and to only do it in-house, what would it mean to you that Christmas was your last public album, that Echo the Angels was the last one y'all released publicly? Is that better?
Sure.
Sorry.
No, I was joking, but it was kind of, it was morbid for me to think about.
It was super morbid. Yeah. Merry Christmas, everybody.
Well, I would say on one hand, I would be so proud because I really am proud of this album. I felt like we accomplished even more than what we set out to accomplish. And I'm in love with the album. Yeah. I would say on the other hand, we've never made a Christmas album. So that would feel really weird, maybe possibly disappointing if this was project.
Yeah.
Just simply because it fits a category that people listen to for 6 weeks out of the year, and that's about it.
What Maybe did you set out to weeks. Accomplish? If you exceeded your own team's expectations and your own expectations with this album, which it is very good. I mean, I've spun it multiple times. What were you setting out to do that you overshot?
Well, I went into it not wanting to aim for a blend of Christmas songs meet worship songs that we as a church can play on Sunday at Elevation. Because that's a different part of my brain, or then it requires a different skill set of writing and the whole approach. Your starting place is a live mentality. It needs to be adapted into a live setting, which is what we do with every live album. So that's
crazy.
Not,
you have to think
that's
about
that.
That's
not foreign.
Yeah.
That's very much in our DNA. But what sounded the most fun was, well, let's do something we don't often get the chance to do. Let's create a studio album that isn't built to necessarily live on Sunday morning, but is hopefully just a enjoyable listening experience, sonically speaking. Let's have fun in the studio sonically with different instruments. But I love Christmas music. I love the way it makes me feel. Our family goes strong from, you know, right about this time through Christmas. And I love all the classics. I especially love Christmas hymns that we grew up singing. So I mean, I can tell you in the Baptist hymnal in that church we grew up in, that from about hymn 76 to hymn 120 lives the Christmas songs in that hymnal.
Yeah.
So like I love it all. Some of my favorite like memories are like when Christmas time hit in that congregation in this small sanctuary and honestly, like learning to harmonize with those Christmas songs, like as a part of the congregation. So I felt like, man, surprising we haven't actually done this with as deeply embedded as my love for Christmas music is in general. And but I just thought, like, man, wouldn't it be awesome to put out something that and be excited to work on an album that of course announces the birth of Jesus and celebrates and reflects like the incarnation and this act of love that is senseless. That our creator is sending his son, Jesus, to there's a lyric on one of those songs that Chris Rice wrote. He was an artist back in the 90s, and he wrote this song, "Welcome to Our World," and he says to breathe our air and walk our sod, and like I just think like it's senseless that actually happened. So there's always this reason. I think that we can find to experience wonder at Christmas, you know, like it's whether it's in a Hallmark movie and it's like built around snowflakes and, you know, there's the wonder is in it. There's like a romanticizing about it, which is fine. It comes easy as a kid, but I think like that's obviously largely what we're trying to regain or get back as adults is like that wonder. But wonder is like truly just based in, I think that I'll say it again, that utterly senseless act that God became one of us. Yeah. Like it doesn't make sense. That's what I'm trying to say. And it's so normalized at Christmas, like every manger scene in the stores that you see, or manger scenes in our homes. But when it's the most unusual and most miraculous plot in our stories when we actually stop to think about it and ponder and take in how wonderful it is. And so I think my ultimate hope and what I meant was like in saying like I kind of think it exceeded our expectations. I do love how it sounds, but I think listening to it I do feel like it kind of captured some like wonder, and I kind of hope it ushers in a sense of wonder into homes when people, because wonder is going to lead to worship, and so it's not like here's just a project that I feel is I don't know, niche or something, and we tried hard to make it sound. No, I really wanted it to sound inspiring, and If you're walking around the city and you see lights, and that happens to be in your headphones, I would want like something to kind of catch you and inspire you as you looked at and saw.
Yeah, you know, that something. Is 100% what happened yesterday. I mean, it is such a beautiful, Brooke Lidgertwood does this really beautifully as well, where you feel, she's like, you can listen to the songs, but listen to the whole thing. Like this is one piece of art. And as a, you know, in book writing, I don't go like, read chapter 3 and 8 and you're going to love it. You're like, no, read the book. It's one thing. I was thinking about the whole thing. I feel like y'all were really intentional about that with this too. Like there feels like a flow to the album.
Mm-hmm. I mean, that's a fun part of the process on the back end when you're like constructing what has now come together in the form of individual songs. And then you have the work of constructing how are these going to fit together? Because you just can't do a track list early as something is not even, you know, materialized. So that's not part of the equation until
you have all the songs. So how many Christmas songs, I mean, this is real in your business. How many Christmas songs did y'all record versus the 10 that we have?
That's it. No, I oh did
my gosh,
know.
Those are the 10.
Yeah.
Dude.
I did know. Like, no, I want all these songs on the album. I just didn't know how they would flow together until afterward. But I really enjoy that part of the process too. Like making it a cohesive thing and hopefully a holistically, you know, enjoyable experience.
I know you're brilliant, but I am like all the way knowing you're brilliant. If y'all only did these 10 songs and they ended up like this. I mean, that is that is real, because usually, and rightly so, when people write books, you throw away chapters all the time, or you don't throw them all the way away. You put them somewhere else and hope that you can use them in the future. And people do that with albums all the time. We wrote 65 songs and you're hearing 13 of them, which is very normal. So for you to go, no, we had the vision for what 10 songs made up our first Christmas album. It was just a matter of what order they needed to be in. Bro.
Or now that you bring it up and I haven't thought about it, maybe we left a lot on the table that we never explored. Uh-oh.
Well, that's the pessimist side of me. Let's do 10 more albums. Let's do 10 more Christmas. Let's go. Okay.
We'll keep adding.
I love it. Hey friends, just interrupting this conversation one more time to tell you about another amazing partner, EarthBreeze. Okay, have you wondered why laundry detergent comes in massive plastic jugs? Ugh, they're heavy, messy, and hard to store. Worst of all, 91% of plastic doesn't get recycled. Yikes. Leaving laundry jugs to sit in landfills. Fortunately, I found a solution, EarthBreeze. Okay, imagine something that looks like a dryer sheet. In fact, I have to really be thoughtful that I'm not throwing a dryer sheet in my washing machine and make sure I grab my EarthBreeze sheets. It's a pre-measured liquidless laundry detergent sheet that dissolves in all wash cycles, hot or cold. EarthBreeze is my new favorite detergent. Listen, when I get home next week and have to start doing my laundry again, I am really glad EarthBreeze is waiting on me. The packaging is a cardboard envelope that saves so much space. I can literally fit 720 loads of sheets where I used to fit one 60-load detergent jug. I also have full control to adjust, pause, or cancel the subscription without hidden fees or penalties. Most importantly, I still get a really powerful clean on my clothes. EarthBreeze is tough on stains, fights odors, and my clothes come out clean every time. This is what I also love. With every purchase, EarthBreeze donates 10 loads of detergent to a charitable cause of your choice. Trust me, there is no reason not to switch. Right now, my friends can subscribe to EarthBreeze and save 40%. So go to earthbreeze.com/thatsoundsfun to get started. That's earthbreeze.com/thatsoundsfun for 40% off. earthbreeze.com/thatsoundsfun. Y'all, I love when my Thrive Market box shows up at my door because it means some of my favorite snacks and cleaning supplies have arrived and I didn't even have to leave my house. Thrive Market has these protein shakes that I like am addicted to. Plus, I'm on a bit of a gluten-free journey, as you know, so they have a ton of gluten-free snacks that I love, like all the Simple Mills crackers and Siete chips. I save money on every order. There is a deals page that I always check out almost daily. It's embarrassing. And I typically save about 30% on every order. Here's the other thing I love. Thrive Market only allows trusted top-quality ingredients while restricting 1,000-plus harmful ingredients like artificial flavors, high-fructose corn syrup, and more. So whether you're looking for organic kids snacks or low sugar alternatives or high protein essentials, you can curate your own shopping experience with a few clicks and trust that you're getting quality products so you can shop worry-free. Save time and money and shop Thrive Market today. Go to thrivemarket.com/thatsoundsfun for 30% off your first order, plus a free $60 gift. That's thrivemarket.com/thatsoundsfun. thrivemarket.com/thatsoundsfun. And one more amazing partner to tell you about, Hatch. Y'all remember me and Eddie going on about Hatch, and Annie and Eddie keeps talking, right? I love putting my phone in another room when I go to bed and using Hatch as my alarm clock so I can A, stay off my phone, and B, have a way more pleasant nighttime routine. I have the Hatch Restore 2, and it's not just an alarm clock. Hatch Restore 2 is a device that helps you build a consistent bedtime and morning routine so you can prioritize rest and sleep better. It has a sound machine and also plays these really beautiful meditations and mindfulness exercises too. And in the morning, Hatch wakes you up gently with a sunrise alarm, y'all. It's so cool. You can set it so the light comes on first, and then your personalized alarm sound comes on like 15 to 30 minutes later. I like the combo of the lilac sunrise and the birds chirping. Great sleep can be learned with Hatch. 83% of customers, including me, report improved sleep, and they have a 60-night money-back guarantee, so you can try it for yourself risk-free. Hatch is offering our friends $20 off your purchase of a Hatch Restore 2 and free shipping at hatch.co/thatsoundsfun. But right now they are matching their Black Friday Cyber Monday sale, so you can get $40 off and free shipping using my link, hatch.co/thatsoundsfun. Y'all, get these for Christmas. People love them and they are on sale. hatch.co/thatsoundsfun. Okay, now back to finish up our conversation with Chris. So to me, Breath of Heaven is always a Christmas song that is like, will get you wherever you are. There's no like escaping the emotion of Breath of Heaven. Is there one off this album that you're like, man, that day when we recorded it, or the reason that one's on there, is there one that is really personal to you?
Well, I mentioned Welcome to Our World, that Chris Rice song. It was it's personal to me because it was the first solo I ever got in youth choir in that church I was talking about.
Yeah. And
so I've never come across a Christmas album that put that one on there. Aside of course but it's always been a favorite for me since I was 12 and sang this like little youth choir arrangement of it. So, and I just think it's amazingly written. It's stunning. But I love that. I also love Breath of Heaven. It's I feel the same. I really like it was kind of a risk putting this song Infant Holy Infant Lowly, and it's just a choir arrangement. It's our choir, and it's just a cappella. But also because I'm a lover of Christmas music, as I've stated, I will enjoy a choir album of just Christmas songs. So it's so honestly, it feels really good to hear you say it's cohesive as a whole, because when I was putting this together, I was like, wait, am I really trying to put an a cappella choir on one of our albums? Like, that has no place. People are going to be like, they tried to just throw everything at the kitchen sink.
No. I imagined this is the kind of Christmas album. So a thing we talk about a lot around here is sneaky Jesus, where can we do things that introduces Jesus to audiences in a way that may feel different than the way they could have experienced him before. And then the Holy Spirit does all the work anyway. We're just humans that are messed up. So I pictured this as a sneaky Jesus album that you like put on at your Christmas party, that everybody thinks they're just vibing to Christmas music, and this is just like good Christmas music in the background. And then they're like, is that guy crying? Like suddenly people are having these like really profound experiences with the Lord because this album's in the background. So that's what I pictured as I was listening. So I was like, Chris Brown built us a Christmas album that we can play around our friends who don't believe everything we believe and expose them to worship music that they don't realize is worship music.
That is wonderful to hear.
Yeah,
that I like it. Sneaky Jesus. Well,
we talk about it.
Finds
we like
its
it.
Ways into Christmas parties everywhere.
Yeah, that's right. That's exactly right. So, I mean, that's the fun part, right? Like, I can imagine. I don't know how this world works because I've never had a song ever. You don't want me to, but like Spotify and Apple Music, like there are all these playlists that people add these songs to, and that's kind of a big deal, right? It's a big deal when people put your Christmas music on their playlist, right?
Yep. I mean, I guess we've never had one added until this project, it is cool to see. We have one song on Apple's playlist that is we're the only like Christian artist.
Sneaky Jesus
cool.
stuff. Yeah,
Sneaky Jesus. There you go.
That's awesome.
There you go.
Because then what happens? But then what happens is somebody goes, "Man, I love that. I should go listen to that whole thing." And then suddenly they're hearing Graves into Gardens, and they don't know, but now they know, right?
But now they know. Yeah, that would be the hope.
That's so good.
That would be the hope.
Talk for just a minute about the rhythms of church people on Christmas Eve. Like, just talk to our church employees and having to work. They work Christmas Eve. Give a little encouragement to our friends who are on staffs at churches about serving on Christmas Eve.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we've always taken the perspective like, we have Christmas Eve services most years, if not all that I can remember. They go December 22nd, 23rd, 24th. And it's all the same experience or service but we give people options. And so we go hard right up until, the end of Christmas Eve. And we've always taken the perspective of like, man, of course this is an opportunity where families are coming in town and those family members may not ever come to church any other time, but they're here for the holidays. So let's make it inviting and warm for people to experience church, maybe for the first time this year, second time this year, first time in a long time. But let's of course tell the story present the gospel, obviously.
Yes.
But beyond that, like, let's create a warm, inviting atmosphere as the church. And mm-hmm. for all the things that people may have been experiencing through December and the chaos and the rush of everything else, let this kind of feel like a respite, you know, like a yeah. place where people can just come and experience God's presence and maybe know what it is, recognize that it's his presence, maybe yeah. maybe not, but if they know they felt different there
yeah,
and they know
right.
they heard about Jesus. So
yeah,
do right. it, because that's the, you know, I encourage all those staff members who are listening, like, that's who you're doing it for. Like, yeah. well done to you for serving hard through the holidays, but keep it up, because it's worth it.
Yeah, it's worth it. Someday we'll see an actual, like, I just have these hopes that God will pull up these charts and be like, this is what Annie's life would have been like if that worship album wouldn't have come into her life as a 19-year-old.
Wow.
But look at how different it was. And like, show that yeah. worship band, like, you made a CD that she bought in at a summer camp, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And for our church staff friends, like, you may get to see a chart where someone's life was drastically changed because they showed up on Christmas Eve.
Yeah, that's beautiful.
That's a
Absolutely.
Cool, we just don't get to see it yet. We don't see it yet.
Yeah.
Okay, two more questions, then I'll let you live your life. For starters, we're asking everybody their favorite Christmas snack. What are y'all snacking on around the Brown House at Christmas?
Well, my wife, she makes some crazy, like, homemade cinnamon donuts.
What? She homemakes donuts and she builds things?
And she builds things. And
I'm
she
impressed.
Has this, yeah. She makes this, do you know what a derby pie is?
Yes. I grew up in Georgia.
Okay, so it's like.
So I'm with you.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, yeah. You're Southern.
Yeah.
Pecan pie, for everybody who doesn't know, but with chocolate.
With chocolate.
So it's not so just good. A regular pecan pie.
It's so good.
So honestly, if I could pull it up quick, I would show you. But there's a picture I have last year. These derby pies have. She messed up because she started baking them for a few friends over
right.
at Christmas time. And then it kind of grew and it grew. And last year, I have a picture. I am not lying. There were 56 derby pies out. And I'm like, babe, you can stop at any point. You are like, people, I know they're demanding these derby pies. And
is
I know
she at two?
It'll be.
What's her Enneagram number?
She's a 9.
Okay, same. Okay.
Yeah, exactly.
56. How many is she making this year? Do you know?
It's more. I don't know the number. We were just the other day. She was like going over a list. She was like, "Are all these people still like? You think I should give all? Yeah, all those. Absolutely, you should still get a pie. Well, now we have so. So, but I mean, so that's what she'll probably start. I don't know, and tomorrow
so, yeah,
making
yeah.
these pies. So Christmas snack. I mean, that's we eat good around the holidays.
Those are good answers. Those
or
are
bad.
Great answers. Is there anything we didn't talk about you want to make sure we cover? I gotta ask you what sounds fun to you, but I want to make sure we covered everything you wanted to.
No, that's great. I've loved
okay.
it.
Yeah, me too. Thank you. It was really fun.
Yeah.
Except me asking you about, you know, your last album, because you're gonna get scooped up by a pterodactyl. Okay. Because the show is called That Sounds Fun, this is always our last question, Chris Brown. Because the show is okay. called That Sounds Fun, tell me what you do for fun.
Okay. I am the worst at having a hobby. Last, this is going to be a long answer, but I'll try
Great.
To make it succinct. Last week, the first time in my life, I'm 41, I stepped foot on a golf course because my buddy is like, dude, just try to get a hobby.
Yes.
Just do it. And I'll say, he was like, I do it for the social aspect. I do it
yeah.
so I can go golfing with buddies. He was like, other people do it because they get obsessed with trying to perfect the game.
Uh-huh.
I went out. I enjoyed it. I had a good time. It was fun. I woke up the next morning thinking, oh, I should have done this. That's what Vinny was saying. I was stepping back on my right foot. And then, that's what he was trying to point out about the swing. I wouldn't do it for the social aspect. I would do it because I would
Perfection.
Become obsessed with perfecting.
Yes.
Like, but that's, as far as I understand, that doesn't happen in golf. You don't perfect that game. You just get frustrated. So I hang out. I hang out with our family. I mean, we're homebodies. So we do pizza and a movie night on Friday nights. That's like sacred in our home. Like pizza oven. We have a pizza oven.
Oh, you like make them?
Yeah, we That's have. Impressive. We do both, but we had to, you know, we had to move into new ways. If we're gonna commit to this as a family every Friday night. Yeah, just different. We love exploring together.
How many kids
are kind of hesitant to two.
Okay.
And my son is 13.
Okay.
So he got into shooting sporting clays when he was 10.
Right.
You know what this is?
They're like, and they go in the air. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So he joined a sporting clays team last year, like a competitive team. I didn't know what this was. I didn't grow up around guns. I grew up in the South, but I didn't grow up around like shotguns or skeet or anything.
Yeah.
This has been a long, long time coming that we have been like, is this a thing? Like, should we like cultivate this? Like, help him? Anyway, it's been years in the making, but that's kind of fun because I have learned with him as he's been learning. And so now we have a membership to this club close to our house where he and I can go with our shotguns and shoot skeet.
I always picture duck hunt, except with little clay things.
Yeah, exactly.
That's what I picture.
That's what it is.
Brilliant. So, man, good list of fun things. But... Well done. Chris, thanks for making time to do this. And thank you for the new Christmas album, Echo the Angel. It's just so good. I cannot wait for everybody to just keep listening to it.
Thanks, Annie. Appreciate it.
Guys, isn't he brilliant? Oh my gosh, I like him so much. I'm so glad he's our new friend of the show. We'll see if we can get him on 5 times, get him in that hall of fun. He's just the best. And man, how much do you love his thoughts and conversation around the church and leading worship and how to serve the church globally while you're serving locally? I just really respect that. Add Elevation's new Christmas album, Echo the Angels, to your Christmas playlist, just like we talked about. And go follow Chris on social media. Tell him thank you for being on the show. And if you have any questions from this episode, drop them in the Q&A box on your Spotify app if you're a Spotify listener, or send them to us on Instagram at That Sounds Fun Podcast, and we'll try to answer them there. If you need anything else from me, you know I'm embarrassingly easy to find. Annie F. Downs on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, New York City for this week, and anywhere you may need me, that is how you can find me. And I think that's it for me today, friends. Go out or stay home and do something that sounds fun to you, and I will do the same. Today, what sounds fun to me is going on a walk in Central Park. I'm so grateful that I can. Y'all have a great week. We will see you back here on Thursday with one of my favorite preachers, theologians, experts on the gospel and on Israel, my friend Christy McClellan. Oh, y'all, get ready. It's going to be good talking to Christy on Thursday. We'll see y'all then.
Well, good day to you. It's Joel with For King Country dropping in to let you know that our brand new film, Unsung Hero, is in theaters now.
It's Luke here. We've teamed up with the creators of Jesus Revolution to bring you this adventure of a lifetime. It's a powerful, true story about a family uniting, growing in their faith, and facing the impossible together.
In theaters now, unsunghero.movie for more information.
Rated PG. Parental guidance suggested.